Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
What an amazing honor it always is to fill in for the great Rush Limbaugh and to talk to you, a nation of survivors. Together we've survived the Russian takeover of the United States of America, and we still get to do the radio show. We survived the nuking by North Korea. We survived the Trump tax cuts. All of us together, hunkered down in caves, hiding from the tax cuts and the redo of Obamacare, a nation of survivors. Thanks for joining us. 800-282-2882 if you want to be on the program. It is a morning that I'm just not going to forget, because there's a story that defines this year in media. And forever, Rush has warned us about the bias of the media, but to watch what's happened and what they've turned into in this year is typified by one story, and it's phenomenal because it contains everything you expect from the mainstream media. It contains a kernel of a truth that should be true. It should absolutely be something that should be a core truth, and yet it's not. It contains a search for some way to get you guys depressed, to stand back from voting for the president and supporting conservatives across the ballot. It contains all this, and it contains a guy named David Brock. David Brock is a guy who has made his living creating dark, secret organizations, webs of money, all sorts of dark money flowing in from big Democrat donors and the George Soros types. And David Brock has made his life on this, despite the failures that Brock has had. For instance, trying to attack talk radio. He's utterly failed in this. In fact, he's promoted talk radio. So David Brock has put together an organization called American Bridge. And the New York Times must have been so excited by this, because bias isn't enough anymore for the Times. Now it needs to be meddling, in meddling and propaganda. So David Brock has put together an organization, and the New York Times is trumpeting this. So this organization is going to go out and find disaffected Trump voters who've now left the president, stepped aside, said, I can't do it anymore. And they promote this, the New York Times, as some advance, and they're talking about the money that's going to be poured into it. Oh, there's going to be $3 million, and they're going to put up ads in swing states, and they're going to find all the disaffected Trump voters. They found the guy. But this ran a couple months before this organization was announced. Now, that timing is important, because one of the things that Brock does is he feeds the media all sorts of kind of maybe might be true in a certain sense. If you shut your eyes, or maybe just, you know, how you like blur your eyes, just kind of make sure you're not looking too close, there might be in there some kernel of truth. New York Times in October 7th ran an article featuring a guy 69 years of age who had turned his back on the president of the United States, voted for him and turned his back. So he said, this guy, Mr. Graham, 69 years old, in a telephone interview with the Times, things have changed in the past couple of weeks. More stupidity's come out. I'd vote for the Democrat nominee no matter who it is at this point, says this guy. So the Times runs this article, runs a picture of the guy, a profile of the guy. No, a telephone interview. That's interesting. So how did they find this guy? And how did it come that the Times was able to surface him? Could it be that David Brock's organization surfaced them? So here's one disaffected Trump voter, and they have to make a huge deal out of this because this should disaffect us all, anybody who plans to support the president of the United States. Here's the problem. He didn't vote in that election. The New York Times and probably David Brock's organization didn't go check to see if he voted. He never voted for the president. And yet the Times runs an article featuring a picture of this man as if he's some sort of hero now to stand to tell the truth. I've stepped back from the president. But it gets better. It gets better in this era on how this story just defines the media. Go back through so many of the things that Rush has shared with us. Go back through Dan Rather. Let's not Memogate. Go prior to that, when Rather was involved in running this series of stories that suggested that any and all Vietnam veterans were living in trees in the Pacific Northwest, hiding from society. All of them, right? All of them hiding from society. All of them so disaffected themselves that they couldn't deal with society. Turned out, when that story was looked into, and people did take a closer look, that the people that they focused on had never been in combat. Most of them had never been in theater. And at the time, as I recall, the statement from Rather's people was, Well, the details of the story were not correct. We stand by the essence of the story. We stand by the essence. And this just defines the media for this year. Absolutely does. Then fast forward to Memogate. And you remember Memogate. Memogate was where Dan Rather was said to have a memo that's impugned the service of George W. Bush. Problem was that bloggers dug into this and examined the memo and found that the memo was written in a typeface that did not exist at the time. It was written on a future version of software, and they were able to track that down and see there's no possible way it was written at the time that Dan Rather's people said it was. And what did Rather say at the time? Their people said, while the details of the story have some question to it, we stand by the essence of it. So in this case, with this man, 69 years old, who said he'd voted for Trump but didn't, who said he changed his mind but hadn't, he didn't vote in the last election, get this excuse. So he is regretful, they say. This is the Times. They had to issue a correction. An allegedly regretful Trump voter in Pennsylvania highlighted in the videos by Democrat Political Action Committee, New York Times, never actually voted. He said that while he regrets misreporting or misstating his voting history, he's basically standing by his feelings. It's his feelings that matter. So he tells the nation he voted for Trump and now regrets it. That wasn't true, but his feelings were accurately described. He's accurately describing his feelings. Do you see how this explains and typifies the media behavior through this year? We started the segment by talking about the things we've survived. We were to die because of the tax cuts, and we didn't. But the media still feels it to their core. We were to die because North Korea was going to nuke us, but they didn't. And here we stand. We were to die because of the redo of Obamacare. Bernie Sanders had told us that people would be dying nationwide because of the redo of Obamacare. But people have survived and they've thrived. But the media, in their souls and in their minds, is so wedded to, but we feel this way, that this has been the year that the president spoke the words fake news. And what has happened has been remarkable. Think about this. The biased media, which has been biased for years, and Rush has done so much to document this, went from biased, went to now participants, went to propagandists, and straight into actual meddling. And the way this works, and I was thinking about this before the program, is there is a thing that happens to shock jocks. Do you remember back when shock jocks were a thing? Shock jocks, DJs. They will get to a point where they can't shock people anymore. Okay, so they have to keep amping up the strangeness and amping up the extremeness of what they do so they can keep getting attention to themselves. When President Trump spoke the words fake news, it set the media off on a feeling-based firestorm. So they have any ability now to understand their bias, to understand how deep it is, and they're now rooting over into actual participants, actually trying to meddle within the election because the bias isn't working anymore. This is another case in point. As you look around the country and you look around at your friends and people enjoying now jobs they haven't had, as you look at the low unemployment rates, as you look at the record low unemployment rates for African Americans and Asian Americans, and we can break it out into all sort of intersectional groups. As you look at the record low unemployment in those sectors, as you look at the Dow, as you look at the stocks, as you look at your 401k, as you look at your retirement, the media wants you to focus on the fact that there are some people who are not gaining in this. So they will take the one section of people that may be still having problems, and they need to focus on that because they feel like it should be detrimental. People should be out of work. My gosh, it's Donald Trump. And so their feelings rule them to this degree. And it's fascinating to talk to people in the media. It is utterly fascinating. I had a conversation with someone in the media, and I brought up just one specific thing the president had done. And the look in this person's eye was when I brought this up. I said, what do you think about the medical transparency executive order? This is, and by the way, this is someone who works in news media. What do you think about the president's transparency-based executive order in healthcare? I said it that way, ambiguously. They looked at me. and their eyes got first big, then small, then blurry, and they said this. Why don't you tell me about that? Meaning they didn't know. They had never heard the fact that the president of the United States issued an executive order telling hospitals and telling big medicine, you don't get to hide your price schemes anymore. You don't get to play the game of, we can't possibly tell you up front what that medical procedure is going to cost because we don't know. The president ended that when I shared that with this reporter in media, in news media. She said to me this, is that verified? Is that verified? Yes, it's an executive order you could read online. But she didn't feel like that should be true. And so it wasn't in her mind. This is the state of media that Rush has been warning us about for years. But don't worry, Liz Warren has a plan for all of this. Over 60 policy papers the Wall Street Journal reviewed. We'll get into that as we continue. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. There's just simply no greater thrill or honor in the world than to fill in for Rush Limbaugh. It's Todd Herman. And to get to do this, if you're ever sitting around, someone comes up and says, hey, you know, what a fill-in for Rush. I recommend it. It is an incredible honor. Coming up, we got to talk about Liz Warren. The Wall Street Journal. I want to know, what is the hazard pay? Seriously, what is the hazard pay for reading 60 policy papers by Liz Warren? All of them trying to top the other in terms of giving away what some people call free stuff. But it's actually far different from that. What she's doing, and we'll get into this in a bit, she's actually turning you into a product. This is one of the things that is unnoticed about centralization and about central-controlled economies and people like Liz Warren. She literally views you as a product to be amassed for bulk purchase. And she views the nation of voters like we could all be stacked up into a Costco and make it like one-stop shopping. Over here, we got the, oh, you're a medical lobbyist? No, I got something for you. I got 330 million Americans trapped into a medical plan. Sure, I can shove your junk product into that and force them to buy it because we discovered years ago that the government has the right to force you to purchase products from companies you don't like for services you don't need, procedures you can never have at prices you cannot afford. It's an incredible right they've given themselves. We've got to get into Liz Warren's plan. The Wall Street Journal, it's a great headline. Elizabeth Warren has a plan. Oh, my. So we'll go through that in a second. Let's start on the telephones. Mark in Miami, Florida, probably calling about the last segment we did about the unfortunate mistake the Times made. They thought they found a Trump voter who now regrets it. Turns out the guy didn't actually vote in that election. Mark, welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, sir.
I just wanted to call when I heard your story. I thought it was a little ironic because in my circles, I'm a registered Republican, and I actually could not bring myself to vote for Donald Trump in the last election. I certainly couldn't have voted for Hillary, so I wrote in my own name. And actually, in my circles, there's a lot of people like me that are registered Republicans that were really hesitant to vote for Trump. Yep. And I'll give you my own personal reason, which I think many of them shared. I was pretty dubious about him actually being a conservative.
Yep.
And I have to say, after 3 years, I made a big mistake because he's the most conservative president in my lifetime, and I'm in my 60s. My favorite president was Ronald Reagan. It is now Donald Trump. And the only thing I regret is that I didn't vote for him last time, but I'm sure as heck going to vote for him this time. And I think this is more the sentiment of the country, not the other way around.
No, I think this is right. And, none other than Michael Moore, the filmmaker of terrible lying-based films, he did one thing right in his life. He predicted Trump's win. And he told people it would be the greatest middle finger in history. Michael Moore is now saying that Trump has it locked again. And so I think that what people fail to realize is the degree to which a lot of us are motivated by the media. Mark, I want to thank you for the call, because I don't think the media gets this either. I don't think they understand the degree to which their imbalance and their utter hatred of Trump drives support. And I don't know about you, but every time I see a twisting of a story, every time I see the media ignore, for instance, we talked about the transparency bill, or transparency executive order that the president issued. That hasn't gotten any airing. Or we're going to talk later in the show about what I contend to be the most hidden story in a decade. And it is about something Obama did. And the media uses something I call the propaganda of silence. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever heard of Project Cassandra? This is another thing that I think people don't understand, particularly people in the media, don't know how closely we pay attention. We know how far you are twisting things. We know how committed you are to your narrative about Donald Trump. And it drives our responses. And I think it energizes us. For instance, no one wants to talk about the structural deficiencies of Medicaid as it exists. But they will talk excitedly about Liz Warren's plan to put you into, to shove all of us into a great big Costco. What does that mean? It means once Medicaid for all, if that ever became law, God forbid, you're locked. You're stuck inside a great big Costco box. And anybody who has enough money to lobby Democrats can go get their junk product included in what you are forced to buy through Medicare and Medicaid. And that makes you a product rather than a customer. Now, how much control do products have? And this is the same across the board with the so-called free college. All of a sudden now, they've purchased your future. They've purchased your kid's future in a bulk rate sale through a plan, one of 60 policy papers Liz Warren has put together. And the media that champions himself, they champion themselves about choice. We're the, it's all about choice. It's all about freedom. No, it's not. Not once you are in the great big Costco that is Liz Warren's mind, because you belong in there to be bought and sold. George in Jacksonville, Florida, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. George, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Todd. I'm just so excited about Donald Trump. And my thing is the media. And I don't think the Democrats are our issue. The Democrats are the Democrats. The problem is we don't challenge the news and we don't challenge the press. We have people on Meet the Press and we have the Republicans on there. And we let them take charge and making us feel bad, like if we're a Trump supporter, we're a racist. Why didn't somebody just look at the press and go, excuse me, why am I a racist? And ask the question. My thing is this. For every question, there's an equal but opposite question. And the press is the, not enemy, as it were, whatever. But the press is, you need to win against the press, not the Democrats. We know who they are. We need to expose the press for a bias. When you say they're not being aired, when our parts are not being aired, we're on every day with the press. We're on every day with the Republicans, on being interviewed by the press, CNN, the whole nine yards. But we don't challenge the press. We act exactly like it's the Democrats, but it's the press that's asking the question.
Exactly. Exactly. George, it's a brilliant call. I want to just make one suggestion. They, the Republicans, I've been saying this for years. When you go on CNN or you go on MSNBC, put together an opposition research file on the reporter so that you can say to them, did you say this about Barack Obama? Why are you not saying this then when President Trump has such a success? Todd Herman filling in on the EIB network. I want to thank Rush and the entire EIB team for having me here. Most specifically, you guys are so patient with us little guest hosts. We have to come in and there's no shoot. You can't fill the shoots. So you come onto the program, you recognize the honor, and you move forward. George from Jacksonville just said something I want to just touch on a little bit. So we're talking about the fact that the media is, they're in a shock jock era. What I mean by this is that guys and people who build their careers in radio years ago, based upon this stunt and that stunt, and I'll say something this outrageous, and you have to keep upping yourself. And you get into this trap, and it's ultimately self-defeating, because ultimately you become boring. So what the press has done, what the media has done, because when President Trump uttered the words fake news, he set off an emotional firestorm within them to try to disprove this. And consequently, you see a year of peddling the Russia hoax. And when that's done, you see the New York Times in internal emails that people discovered saying, OK, shift over to racism, go to white nationalism, go do that now. And what George from Jacksonville had said was that Republicans do get airings. They do get to go on TV. They do get heard. Here's my suggestion, because the media is so far now into this. It's not just propaganda. We're going to talk later in the show about how they're meddling, literally meddling in elections. The media is. So they go so far that direction that George said that our folks, when they go on TV, they don't know how to fight. Let me give you an example. And this involves loss of life, but also lives saved. You've probably seen the video of the church shooting in Texas. You've probably seen the fact that two brave men lost their lives in that attack because they stood to try to defend their church when a gunman came in with a shotgun, sounded like a shotgun, and started shooting them. Now, if this had happened in Joe Biden's idea of Texas, probably everybody in that church may have been dead. I don't know how many rounds were in the shotgun, but it didn't. It happened in Texas voters' version of Texas, where recently law was passed that you could bring a firearm into a house of worship. This is literally the decision Americans have to make. Are you a soft target in many ways? But to the point of the media, and George in Jacksonville had said that they need to be able to take the media on. This needs to go into an opposition research file. And it needs to be at the tip of the tongue of any Republican who is always and forever called to the carpet by the media when there's a shooting. When there's a mall shooting, or as god-awful as they are, and the Republicans are brought in, background checks and mental health. And what about this? What about going to the media? What about going to them and saying, in the church shooting in Texas, that shooter was taken out in about 6 seconds. And a gentleman I understand to be a volunteer security guard at the church shot the assailant in the head. It looked to me on the video from 50, 60 feet, a headshot. And I don't say that to glorify the taking of life in a house of worship. I say that to say calmly, methodically, pulled his weapon, took aim, and one shot ended the threat. 6 seconds. 6 seconds into this, Joe Biden had said that it is nonsensical. He said it's totally irrational to let people carry in church. Now, you can have your views about what belongs in a house of worship or what doesn't, but it is not irrational. So Republicans, when you are on TV and you are called to the carpet because a madman or someone else went nuts and went to go shoot people, and they're saying the media is pointing at you, what will Republicans do? What you can say is, let me ask you, did you call Joe Biden? When the Texas church shooting happened, did you call Joe Biden and say, do you still think it's irrational? I would remind you something about Biden. Biden is a guy who went, there's video of this. I tell Jill, someone's trying to break in your house. You don't need an AR-15. I tell Jill, just go on the back deck and just take a double-barreled shotgun and just fire that in the air, and they're going to take off. Well, Joe, that's the pretend world of your mind where you beat up lifeguards and where kids like to touch your sweaty, wet hair on your legs. That's in the made-up Joe Biden world in your mind. This was real life, and real heroes step forward, and if it was your version of the world, they wouldn't have been allowed to do that legally. But instead, you have people saved, and our thoughts, and at least mine, my prayers for the family that lost those heroes who stood to try to help before the other gentleman apparently took the shooter out 6 seconds. So, Republicans, when you go on TV, be prepared to have these things at the tip of the tongue. Steve in Orlando, Florida, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Good morning, Steve, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I just want to go ahead and say I think Trump should issue a 2020 challenge to all the news media. I think he should say he'll stop calling them fake as long as they print their attractions on the page that it was actually. So if it was on the front page, they should be forced to print the retraction on the front page. Or if it's CNN and they cover it for 3 days, they should have a retraction for 3 days. And if they were to do that, that would bring prestige back to the news media, because the only ones that would be around would be the ones that were doing it right.
I love that idea. I love that so much. Other thing that I would suggest is if the media were to do this, then they need to go back for a year and undo the Russia thing. There were friends of mine I have who were so convinced that Russia was going to prove Trump a spy that they had countdown calendars that they were publishing the day we find out he's a spy. So they should have to spend a year doing that as well. It's a great idea, Steve. Thanks for calling the Rush Limbaugh program. And this is the point about the media and where they're at, right? That when you get to a level, and let me give you this example, and we'll talk about this later in the program in some detail. There is a report that indicates that we may lose, conservatives and Republicans may lose up to 20 House seats, partly because of illegal immigration, partly because of open borders, that we may lose those. This is never discussed. And the media is so completely sold into, look, anybody can come in. And just imagine this. Have you ever had a high school party, ever? Right? It's your home. Come on. Your parents, come on. It's just you and me. The parents weren't home. You had that high school party. And everything's great because you're recognizing, oh, yeah, that's a cheerleader from school. Glad she's here. Oh, hey, look, a popular kid came. All right, I got that. And then there's that moment in time where you look over and go, oh, Lord, I don't know those people. And people you don't know have showed up. You know instinctively, oh, wait, they're putting out a cigarette in the carpet. We're told that it's so complicated in our society that we can't have any controls about this. The media is so pushing this, and that they're also pushing the loss of congressional seats because illegal immigrants count in census counts, which help apportion congressional seats. Garen from Toledo, Ohio, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Garen.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Oh, well, I'm filling in for Rush Limbaugh. How would you be?
I would be great. Loving it. You do a great job. Thanks for all you do. Real quick question. I'll get to my question. Is there some sort of checks and balances system for the news media? You know, they blast out these just knowingly false reports, false stories, and then, you know, there's no, you know, recourse for their, you know, what they're doing. Is there any way to just keep them in check, and is there sort of an association or something like that that calls them out for their mistakes?
I'm going to answer that, Garen, in a way that really has angered some conservatives. I appreciate the call, and I'm going to answer it this way. Mm-hmm. If you really want a check and balance, unplug your cable. I'm going to tell you something uncomfortable. You may never watch MSNBC. You may never watch CNN. But if there's cable TV in your home, you are, in fact, underwriting them. What do you need? Go to rushlimbaugh.com, get the Limbaugh letter, Rush 24/7. You've got these tools. You've got conservative media. You have, in fact, social media. You are paying money every single month to MSNBC and CNN. And I've told conservatives before, I say, I'm not unplugging my cable. I can't get football. You can. There's ways to do that. We'll talk more about this because, yes, there is a party. It's us. We're the ones who can help bring some truth and at least some balance to this. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network coming up next hour. So what do the Democrats plan during the Senate impeachment trial? It's a Kavanaugh effect is what they have planned. And we'll get into that coming up. Have you got the Limbaugh letter? If you don't get the Limbaugh letter, it's a different setting that you get to see Rush in. It's interviews, it's writing, it's a process by which you get to know, I think, Rush better. In this month, in the January issue of the Limbaugh letter, Doug Weed has a book called Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency. This thing is going like gangbusters up the chart. And the Limbaugh letter, Weed uses actual facts. So that may bother some people, that just be warned that there's actual facts within it. No anonymous sources, no fake news. And with the 2020 elections about to rev up, now's a great time to subscribe to the Limbaugh letter. It's available in print and digital editions. In order now at rushlimbaugh.com. I make a suggestion, buy both. You want to have some fun. Set the print edition of the Limbaugh letter out for folks. Just have it sitting there. When people come over and when they say, oh, I know what's in that. Just do a little quiz. Oh, do you? You think you know Rush and you don't unless you listen to that. RushLimbaugh.com for that. Richard in Samford, Maine, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman filling in.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Just a little history for you. Most shotguns can hold 6 rounds. One 12-gauge shotgun in triple aught box holds 15 30-caliber pellets. So in less than 6 seconds, you can shoot 90 30-caliber pellets if you're proficient with a shotgun.
So we're talking about the Texas shooting, I'm sure. And so your contention is, and folks, if you don't know, Joe Biden back in September said it's irrational to take a firearm into a place of worship. If we had followed Joe Biden's version of rationality, more people would be dead. Sadly, 2 heroes lost their lives in that shooting. So how bad do you think it could have been within that church had the gentleman not taken that headshot at 50, 60 feet and put the assailant down?
Oh, it could have been very bad.
Yeah. I mean, how many people? I mean, we could see 10, 12 people dead, right?
Conceivably, he could have killed 45 to 90 people easily.
And Joe Biden's version of rationality, I guess we're supposed to say, but that's okay because at least we followed the gun laws. Richard, I appreciate the phone call. And this is the thing that I when I show my gun collection, I had a woman over to our house. And this is years ago. And she said, I know that I've heard that you own guns. And do you mind if we just take a look? And I said, let me show you my gun safe. And so I took her downstairs and I opened my gun safe. She saw all the guns in the safe and she took several steps back as if I'd opened a jar of snakes that they might reach out and grab her. I don't hunt personally. I grew up doing it. I don't do it anymore. Sort of lost my taste for it. But she said, I guess you like hunting. I later found out she's a pharmaceutical representative. And so is my sister works in pharma. So no judgment here. But I had the occasion to go to her house and say, I understand that you are a pharmaceutical representative. Do you have any bottles of pills? And she says, oh, my gosh, I have samples in my office. Let me go lock them up. Can I come with you? I just want to make sure everything is safe, right? It's just a little game I like to play with folks, okay? Zarin, Columbus, Ohio, you are on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman filling in. Hi, Zarin.
Hi. The concern that I have, and I've heard Rush, listen to Rush for years, but people need to sit back and think, okay, what is the news media and what are the Democrats teaching our youth and people? And that is to how to be bullies. We talk about bullies in school. We have our own Congress up there teaching us how to be bullied. If you don't get what you want, you just keep hammering and pushing and shoving. And I don't care if you lie, you cheat, whatever you have to do, but keep bullying so you could get your own way. And that is not what we want our youth to do. That is, it's so wrong, but nobody says anything about it.
This is a great point, and it's a great opportunity, Zarin, to do something I like to do as well, which is a listener to one of my programs had said at one point, would it work in the real world? So I want to thank you for the call. I'll tell you, I love your name, Zarin. That's a cool name. I want that name, so I might use that a little later. Zarin, thank you for the phone call. Let me make this point based off on Zarin's comment here. A listener to my program years ago said that he operates on a philosophy of this. Would it work in the real world? Okay, so let's take impeachment as an example. Would this work in the real world? Politicians in Washington, D.C., are hand in hand, want to make our national situation seem so hard to understand. So I asked someone the other day, of what crimes has President Trump been accused? And the people said to me, well, abuse of powers, that's not a crime. It's not listed. Or, obstruction of Congress, again, not a crime. It's an opinion. Does this work in the real world? Imagine you're pulled over by a police officer. And the police officer, you roll down your window, good morning, officer, why have you been pulled over? I just had a feeling that you're not a very good driver. Well, did I do something to indicate that? No, it's kind of a gut thing with me. I looked at you, I don't think you're that great a driver, so I'm writing you a ticket. Was there a law about that? We don't need no stinking laws. That's a lesson that leftist college professors are sneaking into the minds of our young people. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman filling in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network. Have you ever heard of the theory? It's a marketing theory. It's a really, really potent marketing theory. It's the one problem, one solution theory. So you take one problem, and let's say that problem is halitosis, bad breath. So you say you are the one solution for this problem is the following, or the one thing that can fix this. And it's a super potent marketing formula. So you want to lose weight? Well, there's one way to do that. It's the ab. It's the ab twister, or it's the hang upside down like a bat for 2 weeks, something like that. It's one problem, one solution marketing. There is one problem, and that is that you have too much. And there's one solution for this. So this is typified by a professor, an assistant professor of urban planning at UCLA, who specializes, by the way, in spatial politics. Spatial politics. That's a thing you can get, a degree, I guess, and specialize in that. The solution, he says, to, how does it go again, the weather and then global warming and then climate change. What was it? Oh, it's climate. I'm sorry. I didn't get my memo this morning. Is it climate catastrophe? Right. Okay, good. Climate catastrophe. The solution is you need to give up your private home ownership. That right there, that'll fix it. So if I understand this right, we give up our private homes. Maybe we could go live in one of Bernie Sanders' houses. Or we're back to the era of campfires. It's Todd Herman in for Rush Limbaugh on the EIB Network.